love and mercy towards us. We thank you, Lord, that you have provided salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you that as many as received him, that them you've given the right to be called the children of God. So help us, Lord, to understand our lives and their significance as we are here together. Thank you for your wonderful mercy and kindness towards us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, before we start and realize is that I won't have her come up, but Richard, come on up. This is a thank you. I already thanked Naomi. Now we're going to thank Judy Raminski. She's going, what? Thank you for your service in the fifth and sixth grade class. And I need to find out how many years you've been teaching that class? 13 years. All right. Some of you here may have been in that class. Amen. And as I'll share later, I said, well, as we're looking and talking about ministry fair and ministry and service opportunities in the church, here's what I believe the Lord is asking. He desires us to be faithful, available, and teachable. I've been a believer now for 43 years, and the teachability part is one of the ones that is just making sure that I'm a lifetime learner. I'm a lifetime disciple. I love what C.S. Lewis, how he put it in his Narnia books. It says, it's farther up and farther in. If ever I somehow think that I've arrived spiritually, I've paid my dues, I can never repay. Can never repay this side of heaven. And even on that side, I can't repay the Lord. What I can do, what you can do, is simply wake up each day and say yes to him. So we're going to wrap up our time discussing your spiritual shape. But it is a concept that we will be always referring to, because that's how, as a church, we've determined to look at ourselves. Our spiritual gifts, our heart, our abilities, our personality, and our life experiences, all those things surrendered to the Lord. Now, there's not one of us in this room that are perfect, but each one of us has a different shape. The Bible says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them. The word, as we shared last week, the word workmanship, the root word of that, the Greeks, is where they get the word for poem. You know, we are something that he, in fact, has authored. He's authoring your life. He's writing the lines of your life. And I, for one, I think that it's critical for each one of us, but I'm speaking for myself. I don't want to take the paintbrush out of the master's hands. If he's not finished yet, then, Lord, keep working. So we want to talk about the issue of what is the church. I handed out on the way in a Lego. I love Legos. I think they're one of the coolest inventions. How many of you have ever been to the Lego place in the Mall of America in Minnesota? Anyone? If there's a heaven for Legos, that's what it is. I guess there's Lego World, right? Lego Land. Oh, well, I'm sorry. And I guess there's probably a lot of Legos there too. But I can only speak from my experience. You go to the Lego place in the Mall of America, and there's a sunken pit, and then there's vats of Legos. It's an endless sea of Legos. And you can sit there by tables that are made out of this material, and all day long, if you choose to, cappuccino on the side, you could build stuff with Legos all day. Didn't that sound pleasant? Right. Well, in Minnesota, you got to have something to do during the wintertime, so there you go. All right. I gave you a Lego, and if you don't have one, the little pink Lego boxes are going around. And after we get done with these, I'm going to dedicate these Legos to one of the ministries of our church. I think I'm going to... So I'll let the... children's ministry or the youth ministry, I arm wrestle for them or something. All right, so here's what I'd like you to do. Please do not overthink this. Maybe some of you are that way. You're going to attach your Lego to one of these green fields, okay? One will be this side, one will be this side, and you'll make your way to the back, and then we'll see what happens, all right? So we'll start one here. Okay, start here. And this one will start over here. You'll notice that your Legos are not all the same size, because that's what Legos are like. Legos have their own shape, all right? And so just attach that, and then concentrate on me, because I'm much more interesting than your little Lego, okay? So you'll just pass it along. When it gets to you, don't think, just place, all right? Now, here's a picture of a Lego church. Now, notice that I did not give you a diagram. If you bought a Lego set and it said like the NASA Lego set, you could build like the space station, you know? I don't know. I just made that up, but you probably could. But I'm just asking you to tell. But here, somebody organized enough pieces of Legos to build a church. And I wanted to speak to this. If, in fact, we're all given a spiritual shape, and where is the pink thing of the Legos? Could someone bring the pink thing? Because I had my Lego here, and I think someone took it. Thank you. Hold on a second.
Not that one.
Add that one and that one. Okay, thank you very much. Give Richard a hand, please. All right. This is a standard Lego. 8 little dots on it. That means 8 different places of connection. I've used this before, but the longer we're a believer, typically the more of our connections are used up. And I'll often hand out Legos and tell people, as people come into the church, they not only want to get to know the Lord, but they also want to get to know people. They want to make friends, supportive relationships. Sometimes you've been in the church so long that all your Legos are filled. Got no time for anybody. And my encouragement has been, rearrange your Legos. I'm not saying kick people out of your Legos, but you rearrange by priority to make room for other people. Okay? So, but here's another example. If we're all shaped and God is using us, He actually uses the example that we are all like building blocks for His church. And who is the chief Lego? Now, it doesn't use that exact terminology because Legos had not been invented yet. But I had to think that if they had been invented, the Apostle Paul might say, hey, you know, those Legos, those are pretty cool. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So here's some examples. In fact, I want to get my handy-dandy umbrella here. Once again, nowhere in the Bible is the word umbrella found, nor is there anything in the book of Leviticus about opening an umbrella in the church. So there's nothing bad, you know, there's no bad mojo that I get for doing this, okay? There you go. So someone said, well, you know, don't open that because it's bad luck. I said, that's nonsense. Here's my example. The church is represented in the Bible by a number of key words. First of all, it's called a church. The Greek word for that is ecclesia, which means the gathering of people for a purpose, a gathering place. It's called the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. And so the fact is that we are gathered for His purposes. And so it's also called, underneath that same concept, a fellowship. A fellowship. And so in some ways we're like fellows on a ship, you know, or people on a ship, or people together doing something. We're heading someplace, all right? The Bible also calls us a body, the body of Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 4 goes into detail. Paul, after laying a theological foundation, says, I therefore beg you as a prisoner of the Lord, I entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, with all humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance towards one another, maintaining the unity of the Spirit, doing all you can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Then it goes on and says, gifts have been given, and one of the gifts, apostles, prophets, preachers, and teachers, and it says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And the word equipping there is a Greek word that's used to mean connecting things. Could be connecting pieces of netting to make the network. Could be connecting Legos. Why? It's so that the world, so that Jesus Christ can be built up amongst all of us. Now, the church is also called a family, the family of God. Paul addresses other Christians as brothers and sisters. He says, older men, treat the younger men this way, as you know, so on and so forth. So we're the family of God. We're representing his family. So I know for myself, I have my son coming over for dinner tonight. And he's invited because he's got, you know, he doesn't have to call me up, hey, Dad, I'm thinking of coming over. No, he just shows up. He didn't even knock on the door. Why? He's my son. Now, the dogs may bark at him, and but then they'll be filled with glee that Kevin's there to visit. My son doesn't need to knock on the door. He's got a place at the table. Friends, we're God's children. And we're here today as a gathering of God's people. And in 70 other churches all around our lake, there's 70 churches, people are doing the same. The Bible, the number one word that Jesus used to discuss his people is the word flock. We are his flock. And that means we're his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. And when I read Peter and I read Paul, but specifically Peter I think of, he talks about the pastor being a shepherd. And so I believe this is that the purpose of pastors and elders is to be under shepherds. This is Christ's church. This is Christ's flock. And I'm an under shepherd, so I should get my direction from the Lord. And so why the umbrella? Because I believe this is that one of the things that shepherds do, according to the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads and guides and provides and protects. That's the role of pastors and elders. So we're holding this umbrella, and underneath the umbrella here, we're trying to keep it as stable as possible. We do that by humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance towards one another and doing all that we can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We hold on strong, and our desire is that in the midst of this, a place of peace can happen. When the shepherd's there, and we're pointing people to Jesus. And so underneath this umbrella, it is hugely impacted by the dedication and determination and personal holiness and desire to be God's people of the key leaders. And so if I take being a godly man or a godly husband or father or citizen, if I take that lightly, it's like shooting a shotgun into this umbrella. It's not as effective. So underneath this, what we're trying to do as a church is we have many umbrellas, and you'll see them next door. They're hanging up. We have six of them. We have children's team or ministry. We have youth, the team in ministry. We have adults, team in ministry. We have worship, team in ministry. We have missions, team in ministry. And when we have admin, team in ministry. And so you'll go next door and you'll see that. But that's just how we've determined to, underneath that, we have an elder who's kind of providing some oversight with that, and that's how we do it. And I'll put this down now. If my role, or the elder's role, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, it really is a matter of, as the Lord, as we find ourselves saved, we find ourselves as a child of God, and we know that He shapes us differently. It is in the context of the body of Christ is figuring out, okay, here's how we all fit together. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And actually next week I'll be starting a sermon series in 1 and 2 Timothy. Now why? Because 1 and 2 Timothy, I can tell you the exact verses, is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, tells us, here's why I'm writing. I'm writing this so you know what to do in the church. That's what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We are called, get this, the church of the living God. So we're not just showing up because we think Jesus was cool, or he was a leader or a philosopher or a teacher that we admire. We're here because we are following the risen Savior, the living God. And it would beg us then to say, well, Lord, then what do you have for us? Well, that's pretty clear. We say it every Sunday morning. We try to. The Great Commandment and the Great Commission. These are the things that really motivate us. We repeat that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. The active word is all, okay? So God help any one of us if we hold back. We say we're kind of stingy with our life. We're stingy with our time, our talent, and our treasures. When the operative word from our Lord is, here's how you'll be blessed as you surrender all to me. And I can tell you, I've been a believer for 43 years, the times when I've held back from the Lord, that's never been good. There's been times that I kind of had a white knuckle hold on tight. Lord, what are you doing? I have to say He's always come through. I may be at times, and you may also be right in the middle of a holding on tight thing, but here's what I can tell you. Nowhere in Scripture and no example I've ever seen of someone who let go and kind of said, forget that God stuff, forget that Jesus stuff, has it ever gone well? So you know what I'm going to do? I just keep holding on tight. Cling to the Lord. Draw near to Him. So we have the Great Commandment and then the Great Commission. The Great Commission, we find that at the end of Matthew, several times. At the end of Matthew, it says these words, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore," because of that, "go therefore, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now here's a cool thing. 2,000 years ago, when Christ walked the earth and he was living, and then a little under that, when he died on the cross for our sins, and said these words to people, "Go to the farthest parts of the earth." You know, you can't get much farther away than Kelseyville, from ancient Israel. Aren't you glad that the good news came to you? Aren't you glad? I know you are. Aren't you glad? I'm not sure how it happened. Maybe it was sitting on grandma's lap or sitting in a Sunday school class. Maybe it was at a camp. Maybe you were at a Billy Graham crusade. Maybe it was sitting in Awana or the youth group. See, that we're here because someone else was faithful. We're here because someone else was faithful. My own sense is, as a church, we pray, and the next slide was this. Let's read this together. Pray this would be a place where the great commandment and the great commission are lived out. And not just thinking about it. We want to hold ourselves to what the priorities of life that the Lord himself has asked us to take on. One is, which is to love him with everything and love people. Love people the way... Here's the requirement. Just love people the way that Christ loved them. Yeah, you can only do that by his help. And then the Great Commission is that you have the kind of, I can't help it, so I got to tell people about this good news. I think it was May or June, I can't remember exactly when. Sue was at doing some errands, and she was driving back, and our house is on North Hartley, and she left Safeway, and she was driving on, finally got into Hartley, and she noticed there was some smoke, you know, coming up, and she goes, oh, that's kind of by our house. So she kept driving, and as she drove closer, going up the hills there, and then you go down by the baseball fields, she goes, wow, that's like really by our house, and ultimately it was a house of one of our neighbors, their trailer had caught on fire and caught the tree on fire. And immediately, Sue does something. First of all, she gets on her phone and warns our daughter, who's can't walk so good, so let her know, hey, heads up. And then my wife stopped, and she began knocking on doors. No one, you know, desperate. There's a fire. Now, we all know how quickly fires can move around this county, right? I kind of thought that was a pretty responsible thing for my wife to do. Now, what if she would have said, well, you know, that's their problem, you know. And, I mean, I don't want to intrude, right? I don't want to, I mean, maybe they're sleeping. Maybe they're watching As the World Turns or something. No, that's obviously ridiculous. We're thinking, no, there's danger. I need to share with you a core belief of our church, and definitely it's a core belief that Jesus laid down. That God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That whosoever believes upon him shall not but have everlasting life. Do you mean to say that people may not get to heaven? They may perish, spend a Christless eternity in some place, stuck with themselves, no ability to change? The answer is yeah, that's what the Bible says. May be hard to swallow, and I think for some, maybe even some here, they dismiss that. Well, a loving God would never do that. But here's what the loving God did. He loved us so much that he sent his Son so that we may avoid that. So he takes it pretty seriously. So the issue is that as a church, there's the side of it of why would it be important for us to understand our spiritual shape, and now then the now what part. And here's the now what, and all I'm asking any one of us to do, including myself. Let's wake up every day and remind ourselves that he's the king and we're not. Till the day he takes us home. Never use the excuse, well, you know, I've done enough, da 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 da. Now, the Lord may be transitioning you to other things. That's his business, right? And the Spirit of God will let you know. But I don't know any believer that they've given a free pass saying, no, you don't have to serve me anymore. No, we all serve. We serve until the Lord takes us home. Now, I just wanted to share this with you. I don't want to spend too much time because people will kind of see this and go, well, what is this all about? Well, let me break it down. The first service, my super pointer didn't work. There we go. I was going to go, huh? All right, there we go, super pointer. So let me break this down. Lake County population is 70,000. Now, if I go back and look at the latest census, it's actually 65,894. Then, likened back to that, they say that at any time, about 5% of any county in California has a population of undocumented or transient people. So if you add that together, it's about 70,000 people, okay? Then for myself, so that's our backyard, okay? 70 churches. Of that, figuring, well, people are willing to drive a ways to get to church, and so if I do something like a half hour, some people longer than that, but if I did that, then that number is about 38,000, all right? That I would say, well, that's those who would say, yeah, maybe I'll go to that church. Well, here's some other numbers. The crowd, that's people who would be at our church at least once or twice a year for something, or at Awana, or at and just drop in. So that's the impact. And we actually, that's larger, probably closer to 1,200 people. That's a lot. The next is our congregation. That would be people who, I would say, come here regularly. This is their church, and this is where they worship. Now, the first service, I'm having to tell them we're going to get used to the squishing in, because we got sometimes close to 200 people in the first service, and that's fine, because it seems like it changes waves throughout. But here's what's going to happen at some point. If we say, oh, Lord, there's more people in Lake County who need you, and maybe they'll want to come to church. Maybe they'll come here. Maybe they'll come to one of the other 70 churches. But we have to be prepared to say, Lord, let's make sure we're making room on our Lego. All right? So there's ways that we'll bring to you if we need to do that. Maybe we'll need to add another service or whatever. I mean, we'll let you know, okay? But the issue of congregation, that's people who say, yeah, that's my place of worship. Now, about 4 weeks ago, there was a Sunday morning where there was like 540-some-odd people on campus. That's men, women, and children. And then we break it down from there. Committed, please don't be offended by these. It's committed to the point of saying, yep, I want to find a place of service. I'm going to be an usher, a WANA worker, whatever. That fluctuates between 150, about 175 people, if you add them all up. And just so you know, you're not going to be tested on this, and the IRS is not going to have me scrutinize these words. These are just broad brushes. And then we have the issue of the core. Well, what's the core? Those are people who are actually leading. They're leading a ministry, or they're responsible for a group of people. All right. Now, what it says, connect and serve, it's not just connecting to the church, but here's the most important thing. And everyone look here. It's about connecting with the Lord. The last thing I want to do is guilt trip anyone. Well, you're not doing enough, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No. The Holy Spirit is the one who begins to work. And if I hear someone, well, I just don't have time, I may call them on that. It's the Lord's time. It's the Lord's business. But really, it is between you and the Lord. And so ultimately this, here's what I can tell you, is that when we first make the step to say, yes, I'm going to move from the crowd to part of the congregation, this is my church home, to a place of saying, oh, Lord, I want to serve. The Lord may say, okay, you've done that. Now I would like you to do this. And for myself, that was, as a 16-year-old, I was in the crowd, then the congregation. My first place of service was I helped out with the youth group on Wednesday nights. I was a senior in high school. And then the bigger ask was, I was asked after that, hey, why don't you become an intern here? And then it went from there. And I'm not using myself as an example. Here's what I would say is this. It's the willingness, and God desires to just keep saying yes to Him and say, Lord, I don't want to do this because hey, if I do more things, then I'm more holy. Because we can all have the tendency somehow of defining our spirituality based on the last good thing we did. Let me tell you about yourself. You are loved by God. He can't love you any more than he already does. And he has equipped you to be a servant and to bring glory to him. The last group. So the fact is, do we need more people saying, willing to say, okay, I mean, it's hard. To find someone saying, yeah, I'll take on, I'll be part of the team that's going to do first and second grade teaching. Because here's what we're finding more. People are saying no because it kind of, can I be blunt? It invades their space of their time, their talents, and treasures. If I say yes to that, then I'm going to have to say no to, you know, whatever. And all those things may be very good things. And I'll just leave that between you and the Lord. But here's what I got to tell you. It tells me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we build with things. Some are precious, some are not. At the end, they all get burnt up. There's only two things that I know in the whole universe that remain. God's stuff and people. And so let's work on those two priorities. Love God with everything, love people. And so it may end up being that to make this work, if we're going to then be a commissioned church where we're sending people out, here's what I believe. Young people in our church, God's going to call them into ministry. And it's scary because I've been there before. And I said, no to God, no to God, no to God. But the hound of heaven just keep hounding me. But for some of you, your call is going to be mid or late career. And he's going to say, hey, I want you to be a missionary to Mongolia. I want you to set aside this amount of time to do this. And so I just want to say, when you do that, this is like, oh, no, God is going to have me do something I don't want. But you can count on that. But he's always going to lead you to a fruitful, more joyful life. All right. Friends, the issue of the people who are in that core is also those who have taken on this challenge, and the Lord tells us all, we must reproduce ourselves in the lives of other people. It's called discipleship, and you have to be intentional about it. I'm 61 years old now. I'm not sure. Maybe another 10 years I get to be a pastor like this. I mean, I'm always going to be a pastor. But I would be very foolish if I wasn't taking very seriously pouring into the life of other people. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us or compels us. Let me share with you some of the big rocks. One of the big rocks is this, is that we need to strengthen and have a much more vibrant, flexible, powerful ministry to children. That means, as some Sunday school teachers are transitioning out to other things, that is having teams of people that are working with the youngest ones, the early elementary, mid, and all of that, so that it's not fragile. We have a team of people saying, hey, I'll take that on. Don't worry about it. I got it. That's what we need, is faithful, available, teachable people. And we promise you this, and Janelle and that promise you this. We're not going to throw you into the turbulent waters. You're going to be always people there to support you. But here's what I know, is that if we're going to have a commitment of reaching families, we got to reach their kids. And so I don't want Doug to ever feel awkward, and he doesn't, that he says, you know what, I need more workers. Because I know Doug's heart. Doug says, man, God, at the right time, give us twice as many kids. It can't happen. It can only happen. I think the kids part is the easiest part. It's the willingness of people to say, okay, I'm going to stay the course, but also to us others who are willing to say, okay, I'll make that as part of my service to the Lord. I'm going to serve the least of these. So when you go next door and you walk around and you'll see things you can pick up, I really would like you to prayerfully consider, Lord, help me to evaluate these things. We need people willing to say, okay, I'm willing to take on one of these core ministries. And not only just take it on, but say, here I am. And then we promise you as pastors and elders, we'll come alongside to make sure that you're not just, you know, flopping out in the wind. I need to land the plane with this. Let me share this very powerful. I love this Oswald Chambers. Chambers, good name. But Oswald Chambers, this guy can write, and he's inspiring. Let's read this together. The knowledge that God has loved me beyond all limits will compel me to go into the world to love others in the same way. Simple. We love others because He first loved us. And that's really what I would like to be the motivation of our church. If the Lord wants hundreds of thousands of other people around here, that's His business. He just wants to make sure that we're taking care of what we have first. Right? If you own a restaurant that you have a hard time serving 20 people at a time, please don't pray for 200. Maybe you need to look at the systems. So we want to do that. Look at the system so that we're honoring the Lord. But here's what I do know. Our time on this planet is short. And I don't want to stand, and you don't want to stand before your Lord and say, hey, how come I wasted all the time, talent, and treasures? I want to thank you for serving. I mean, the numbers that we have of people who are doing something, it's just staggering. And that's why God's blessing and why God will bless us in the future. As we grow closer to Him and even grow more in our serving, then ultimately it's always returning it back. 7.6 billion people on this planet. I have a hard time really thinking of that, but here's what I can think of. 70,000 people living in our county. We'll start there. We'll start there by unleashing people to share the good news. And then we will determine, each one of us, to find our place of service. And I believe at any stage of life, God wants to use us. We're going to end by singing, Take My Life and Let It Be. Let's do this as a prayer, and then I want to invite you all to head on over next door, and we'll enjoy that time together. All right? Let's stand together and sing this wonderful song. Ready? Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy law. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet.
feet is treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee, ever only all for thee.
Amen. It's a joy to serve the Lord. He alone is worthy. Let's return to Him every day and acknowledge that He's the King, we're not. Please go next door, grab a hot dog. We have plenty of hot dogs, so you can even maybe have more than one if you're nice. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and mercy towards us. Oh, Father, help us to find our place of serving you. And if we already are serving, Lord, that we may do it with a new sense of excitement, knowing that we're pleasing you and we're seeing your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and have a great day.